You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Monday, September 6th. Happy Labor Day. And I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Today's episode is brought to you by Locked On MLB. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. This is Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily, lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week coverage on the Minnesota Twins on this holiday Monday after a Twins win. That's two Twins wins in a row, this time in Cleveland. Twins coming from St. Pete, salvaged a sweep there, won the last game of a three-game set with the Rays, start a four-game series with Cleveland. They won game one tonight, 5-2. Nice little buttoned-up win. We'll talk about this weekend. We'll talk about tonight. First, I'd highly encourage you to go back and listen to a two-part conversation with Matt Braun from Twins Daily. That was last week. Matt and I chatted at length about a lot of things, you know, about 2022, looking at this rotation, about Byron Buxton, you know, about what the Twins should do in 2022 and in this offseason as they eye, hopefully, contention in the next couple of years or competitiveness at least next year. So go listen to those. And then I have some other fun episodes. Interview with Spencer Steer. I think that was two Thursdays ago. Had a lot of fun talking with Spencer. You can listen to that interview. And we're just here 5 days a week, man, pushing through this season. It's September 6th. It's been a grind. You know, this is month six of Twins baseball. And it's been rough for the most part. You know, as I think back to a lot of the episodes this summer, it's a lot of them are painful, you know, a lot of them are not fun. But what I've really enjoyed is being here, you know, and talking every 5 days, whether that be that they win, they lose, they get embarrassed. I love that you listen. I appreciate that you listen to what I have to say about this club. And, you know, I'm going to be here no matter what, and I plan to be here for the long run here as the Twins work their way back. I mean, I said last week, I think it was last week, after that loss at Fenway, it was hard, you know, the series finale loss at Fenway. It was the furthest I felt from contention for the Twins. It was the furthest away I felt in all of this. You know, it's funny how it's adjusted from early season struggles. You still expect, you're waiting for them to kind of bounce back. They never do. You still think, hey, this has been fluky for 3 months or 4 months. Maybe they can turn around in 2022. And then you just kind of hit that point where you go, wow, like this is real. This is a real season, and this happened, and it continues to happen. And you look toward 2022 and just how different it looks now than it did before this season. Not all hope is lost. We're going to have a prospect day tomorrow. There's still so much talent in this system. I'm so excited to see this next Twins core play together with Jorge Polanco. It feels like it's going to be one of the holdovers, if not the only holdover from this current core. Polanco has been amazing. We'll talk about Polo again tonight. But I'm very, very excited to see what happens with Jose Miranda, what happens with Austin Martin, what happens with Royce Lewis, with Spencer Steer, with a lot of these guys, and especially on the pitching side. You know, Jordan Balazovic, Joe Ryan's going to make another start Wednesday, and that's probably the biggest storyline here in September. The young pitching, Bailey Ober made a start tonight in Cleveland. We'll talk about his start too. But young starting pitching as well is going to be fun to watch, you know, at the end of this year, into next year. I think you're going to see hopefully some impact pitchers come out of this system. And that's the most fun. You know, I've said before, the best thing about baseball is the farm systems, because you watch these guys all the way through and you watch them grind their way up the minors. Some of them guys who crush through the minors as top prospects, and then they make an impact. You know, your Byron Buxtons, your Miguel Sanos, other guys that weren't top prospects that make a huge impact. That's fun too. And the stories. I mean, it's all about the stories, and I think that that's the best part, and that's why I love doing Prospect Day. So we're going to do a Prospect Day tomorrow, just going through the big names, you know, guys who are trending up, maybe trending down, trending to, you know, in the middle, guys who have been kind of treading water as well. So we'll look at the Twin system tomorrow. I'm excited to do that. You know, a little two-week back review. If you're just starting to listen to the podcast, we do Prospect Friday, but I kind of been mixing it around in the week because sometimes we have a Friday episode or you know, other things we're talking about. So we've moved it around, and we'll do one tomorrow because it's been too long. You know, we try to do it every week and look back at the last week of performances. So we have a lot to talk about there in the minor leagues, and we will do so tomorrow. But yes, I want to stress that not all hope is lost. You know, there is a lot of talent here, and there are certain guys that you really should be excited about that warrant excitement. One of them, I think, is Bailey Ober. I think Joe Ryan's one of them too. And hopefully there's a lot more on the way. You know, the upside of this system, I think, is high. And I think that the Twins do have a chance to churn out a really good next core of both position players and starting pitchers, and hopefully some really good bullpen arms too, because they have some electricity in the system. And it's going to be interesting to watch how it plays out, because this regime will oversee that core on its own. You know, they didn't draft some of those guys. They didn't draft Jose Miranda, Jordan Balazovic, but you're going to see guys they did draft, and we've seen some. And now Brent Rooker, Royce Lewis was their first pick ever this regime. Maybe they'll stick around long enough to see someone like Aaron Sabato or Alaric Solari, guys like that, who I'm excited about. Marco Raya was a high school pitcher, so maybe not him. But, you know, guys that they're going to oversee, and they're going to have their hands and fingerprints all over this next core. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Let's talk about this weekend of games and tonight's game after the break. I mentioned Twins losing 2 out of 3 in St. Pete and then winning the series opener in Cleveland. Let's talk about it after the break. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of that clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. That's DirecTV.com. Did you know 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools and more time. You don't stand a chance. Introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name the stakes, winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. You are in total control. Stat Hero's DFS, the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. Play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Plus, you can go to stathero.com/lockedon. Sign up for free, and right now you can get 3 times back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. stathero.com/lockedon. Twins go to St. Pete, and you just had a sense that this was going to be ugly. Tampa Bay, best record in the American League. They're kind of hitting their stride right now. Last time the Twins played them at Target Field, the Twins are playing really good ball. They were coming off series wins over Houston and the White Sox. You kind of had a feeling coming into this series that it wasn't going to be the prettiest on the road. You know, Tampa, like I said, has been really, really good this year. They have a lineup that's now starting to get into a groove big time. And after the Twins lost both games to the White Sox, or to the Cubs, excuse me, at home on Tuesday and Wednesday in kind of ugly fashion, the way the offense looked, you didn't have a good sense about this weekend, and it turned out to be true. Randy Dobnak started Friday, and I've been pretty bullish on the Dob since he debuted in 2019 because the numbers were so good. And I still think, like, I was looking at Baseball Savant the other day looking for Bailey Ober metrics about his extension that he gets to the plate, and we'll talk about Bober, how he pitched tonight. But I was looking up some metrics, and Randy Dobnak has like the most spin or the most sink on his sinker, like the entire big leagues, like the most vertical drop on his sinker in the big leagues. It's a ridiculous number. Like, his sinker sinks more than 99.9% of pitchers. He has a really, really good sinker, and you saw that Friday night, all the ground balls he got. And then he's been tampering with that slider. And I think the slider, the sinker command, yes, but also the slider command and picking when to use it and getting through a lineup a couple times, I think has been a problem when he struggles. Now, here's what I think about Dobb compared to maybe Ober or Ryan, and Dobber is more of a veteran than those guys. But I think because he has such a good sinker and because he's so efficient, and sometimes he's efficiently bad, like he's bad in a certain amount of pitches. Like he went seven innings, but he gave up five runs or whatever in that game. He's so efficient that I think you can, if he was going into a full season and he was coming into a season healthy and he had a decent amount of innings under his belt, I think he's a guy like as a fifth starter, you can rely on a fourth or a fifth starter for 150, 175 innings in a season. Because I think he's going to have innings where he throws six pitches because he gets three ground ball outs. You know, it's going to happen that way for him. And that's what we saw in 2019. That's what we saw again for the most part in 2020. He kind of fell apart at the end of 2020. But people forget like Dobber and Maeda were their two best starters in 2020 for a period of time. Like if they didn't have Randy Dobnak in that shortened season for the first half of it, it would have been really bad. Like the rotation would have struggled. Jose Barrios was struggling in a huge way. Jake Odorizzi was a non-factor. You know, Homer Bailey was a non-factor. Rich Hill ended up being better as the year went on, but they just didn't have a lot in that rotation, and Dobber was great for them. And yeah, he lost it at the end of that season, then he came into this year and was not good at all, then has an injury and now has come back and had a really bad first couple innings back this time out too. But I just think it's important to look at not only the numbers of when he's been effective. In 2019 and 2020 combined, we're talking about 75 innings, 3.12 ERA in 15 starts, 19 games. You know, ERA 42% better than league average, FIP at 3.56. And this is probably the higher end of what you're going to see from Dobb. Like, that's probably the best he can be, a 3.12 ERA. But he's not a 764, 569 FIP guy. Like, that's just not who he is. I know that's not who he is. Because you look at his stuff, like, it's different than if a guy with an 88-mile-an-hour fastball that doesn't move, that can't really command the ball, that has fringy off-speed stuff, if he has success for 70, 75 innings, you say, okay, that's a fluke, and you look at some of the underlying numbers, and you say, okay, that yes, that looks like a fluke. I don't think that's the case with Dobb, because Randy Dobnak has a good sinker. Like, I think that's been forgotten since he struggled so badly, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. He's been awful, and I watched him at Yankee, or at the Target Field against the Yankees this year, and he was terrible. But I think his sinker is still a good pitch, and if he can at least command his slider a little bit, I think he can get outs as a fourth or fifth starter. And I'm not sitting here and telling you that Randy Dobnak is a front-of-the-rotation starter, but they extended this guy, and I supported it because I like the numbers. You know, I like the ground ball rate. You look at his ground ball rate, so ridiculously high. In 2020, 61.7%. This year, even in a really bad year, 56.7% ground ball rate. He's going to get a ton of grounders. The sinker's gotten beaten up this year. I don't think he's commanded it well. I don't think he's been healthy. But by no means am I ready to throw in the towel and Randy Dobnak is an asset for the Twins in the future. I'm just not ready to do that because I have seen him succeed with his stuff. And I don't see that as a fluke. Maybe in a, like I'm saying, it's not a fluke, but maybe that's the best you're going to see in those 75 innings, 3.12 ERA. That's the best Dobnak you're going to see. And he's worse than that probably at his median, at his 50th percentile. But his 50th percentile is not a 764 ERA. I think he's a high threes, low fours ERA guy like he was in 2020. You know, it wasn't exactly consistent. He was great at the beginning and bad at the end, but 4.05 ERA, 107 ERA plus, right around league average, 46 2/3. I think that's the guy you have in Randy Dobnak. I think that that's the type of starter that you have, and that's valuable, you know, especially for a guy who can give you a lot of innings because he's efficient. That just adds into it. I think that that can be valuable and can help a Twins team that, you got to remember, doesn't have a lot of guys that can fill into the rotation next year. I don't think Dobnak would be, you know, starting for the Milwaukee Brewers, who have an all-world rotation, but for the Twins, he can be an asset for them, and I think he can be an asset next year for them, and I'm intrigued to see how he does in September. This start looks ugly, but it turned out to be okay at the end in terms of just getting outs quickly. I think he got 15 outs in a row, pitched seven innings, went deep into the game, got 15 ground balls or something like that. I didn't think it was awful. He just had a bad start to this game, couldn't find his command, and then eventually kind of got into a groove and pitched well at the end. So let's see what Dobber does. I'm going to wait and see what Dobber does. You might be out on Dobb. I'm not. I'm going to wait to see how he responds here from a bad outing. Let's talk about Bailey Ober and the game tonight in Cleveland. Twins get a win in the series opener. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar has 12 original flavors, but they've added 6 new flavors as well. And these improved Built Bars are even deliciouser. Plus, Built Bars are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, full of protein, full of fiber, and great for a keto diet. And the peanut butter bar, only 5 grams of net carbs for a type 1 diabetic like me, that is huge. Plus, right now, Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch, so listen closely. You get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you also get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. My favorite flavors include the coconut almond, the peanut butter, the banana bread. Use promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, the NBA, the NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. That's promo code locked on. Promo code locked on. LOCKEDON. All one word for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. To put a bow on that Tampa Bay series, Saturday was such a clunker. Andrew Albers was awful. Twins offense didn't really show up. I mean, they got smoked in that game. It wasn't pretty. Sunday's game was a nice win. Nick Gordon was great. A couple clutch hits. You know, he went 3-for-5. Nick Gordon on the year is hitting .239 with a .609 OPS, but he was great. And Aaron Gleiman tweeted out his runners in scoring position. I think in high leverage spots, he's been great. So that's awesome to see Nick Gordon succeed. I've talked a lot about Gordon. I think he can be a utility option for the Twins next year, hopefully, and can play himself into being a utility option at the end of this year and in spring training. But that was awesome to see. Griffin Jacks got beat around again, 4 earned runs, homer, Brandon Lau, 6 hits, walk, 3 strikeouts. I think I've said a lot about Jackson. I'm not ready to throw the towel on him either because he's so young and he just came up. But this version of Griffin Jacks is a reliever to me. And I don't think that means long term. He has to be a reliever. Like, he can develop a third pitch and, you know, maybe get another tick on his fastball or something to make him more effective against lefties and multiple times through the order. But this version of him is a reliever. And until he develops, unless and until he develops, that's what I'm going to think of Griffin Jacks as a reliever. That doesn't mean that I don't think he has stuff to stick in the majors. I think he does as a reliever. But that was a great win for the Twins on Sunday. That was awesome to see. Got some clutch hits. This team's just so much better when Byron Buxton's on the field, in the lineup and on the field. He makes such a big impact, and he did again tonight. Hit a home run tonight, 2 hits, multi-hit game yesterday. Jorge Polanco has 4 extra base hits, 3 doubles and a homer. Buxton Polanco is a pretty good one, too, right off the bat. I mean, those two are having tremendous seasons. Polanco, of course, in a much, much larger sample. But Buxton, just on a per-game basis, struggled since coming off the injured list. But even when he struggles at the plate, you don't really notice it because he's busy making great catches in center field, changing games in different ways. When he gets on base, wreaks havoc on the base pass. So get his infield hits like he did today. And Buxton's just, he's a game changer. He's a difference maker. And Matt and I talked at length about Buxton last week, but I will say it every time I speak of Byron Buxton. When he's on the field, he does something in a game to give you a chance to win. I'd say in 155 about 162 games a year. And if he could play 162, that'd be amazing. If he could play 155, that'd be amazing. If he could play 100, honestly, that'd be amazing. But Byron Buxton, just enjoy him when he's on the field. I mean, when he plays, the team's different. There's a different vibe. You know, there's so much athleticism that's lost when he's not on the field, defensively on the bases, and then the power that he's added over the years as well is a loss, massive loss, and he's just an amazing player. And for every day that he's healthy, I would just advise that you enjoy it, or encourage you to enjoy it. because you never know the next time he won't be. Rob Refsnyder had a big hit in the first inning. That's good to see. I think Ref's going to have a place on the 2022 Twins because I think they are really left-handed in the outfield, and I think he can play a role as a right-handed fourth outfielder, fifth outfielder next year, play a little center field, you know, plays right, playing left. He can play, I think, anywhere in the outfield you can put him and feel okay about it. So I think Ref, I think he's playing himself this September as well into hopefully a role for next year. I really like Refsnyder. It is it's a case of the first impression thing for sure. He was so good when he came up that it's hard for him, me to shake that about him, me seeing how good he was. But I try to ground myself and remember, like, this is a career minor leaguer. But he's hitting .265 on the year, .713 OPS. That's, if he gives you those numbers, like, that's good as a fourth or a fifth outfielder, right-handed option who can start against left-handed pitching over Max Kepler, which is exactly what he did tonight, and I think he can do it again next year. Brent Rooker, who's really struggled lately, he was 1-for-4, had a nice hit to center. But Rook, I mean, he's been in a rut for sure, and he's kind of had sporadic playing time, and I was sad and scared thinking tonight, because I really like Brent Rooker, that this might be his last chance. You know, this could be his last chance to make an impact. Such a big thing that I think is forgotten about Brent Rooker is that throughout the minors, he had complete reverse splits, like crushed right-handed pitching and didn't hit left-handed pitching all that well. And I think that was especially true in his 2019 minor league season, crushing right-handed pitching. And I think that's impactful for him in a negative way. And I spoke about this with him and without him, about how I thought that that raised his upside as a player, that he's not hitting lefties yet, but he's a right-handed slugger, and there's just no reason why he shouldn't be hitting lefties. But for some guys, that's just the case, you know? And I think if that was flipped, if Rooker throughout the minor leagues crushed the left-handed pitching, and he was a lefty masher, and couldn't really hit righties and struck out a lot, you know, went after that slider away and just had trouble making contact against righties, but crushed lefties, I think his role would be different moving forward. I think his outlook would be different because he would fill that role that I was just speaking of with Refsnyder. I think Rooker would fill that role on the 2022 team. And another guy I'm not ready to write off. Let's wait to see what he does at the end of September, and we'll see what happens this offseason in the outfield. But Brent Rooker's been going through a little bit. Bailey Ober started. Michael Pineda piggybacked him tonight. It's good to have Big Mike back for sure. He went 3 scoreless, 3 strikeouts. ERA is back under 4 for the season, which just feels right for him. Bailey Ober just felt like he didn't have his command, but he still got through it. And that's what separates pitchers. You know, if you don't have your command on a certain night, Ober with the fastball tonight, can you still get through an outing? And I didn't think Ober was like awful with his command, but I think when you don't have your fastball command and can still work around a lineup, and not a great Cleveland lineup, but still, Framil Reyes, Jose Ramirez, Ahmed Rosario, Miles Straus killed them all year. Framil hits a 2-run homer off Ober. Still find your way around that. I think that that's successful. I don't know what would have happened if he pitched the 5th inning. I don't know if he would have hit the wall there, but nonetheless, another good start for Obes. Season ERA is at 4. Mentioned Big Mike came in for 3. Duffy, scoreless inning, and then Colomé gets the save. Tyler Duffy's been good. I mean, I watched him get 3 straight strikeouts with the bases loaded last week. It was very impressive against the Cubs, even though that lineup's bad too. And Duffy's, you know, he's your 7th or 8th inning guy right now for sure, and Colomé's your closer. But I thought Ober was good. Really curious to see how Joe Ryan does on Wednesday. And then we'll see what the Twins do with this rotation with Pineda back. It can't hurt. I mean, there's an argument that Pineda shouldn't be pitching for the Twins as an impending free agent. Like, what's the value? But you have guys like Ober and Ryan who don't have a ton of innings under their belt. And I think it's more important for next year, certainly, to monitor their innings this year so you feel comfortable ramping them up next year again and you don't feel like they're going into the offseason super fatigued with a ton of innings on their arms. I think Pineda can help in that way. But good win for the Twins after a series loss. That's 2 wins in a row. Hopefully you can keep it going tomorrow. Played Cleveland well, honestly, I think this year, maybe more than any other opponent, at least any other formidable opponent they've played well, certainly. We'll be back tomorrow with a prospect day, like I said. Can't wait. Join me then. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day, and go Twins.